Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five, and they have a risk of giving the Washington Commanders the ball near midfield. I'd rather see them punt, even this early with a two-point lead. At any rate, that being said, Hurts is in the gun. Two receivers on each side. Back goes Hurts. Here comes the rush. He lets it fly, and it is caught. A.J. Brown inside the 20-yard line.
How do you like me now?
You know, I really thought that was the moment of the game. And I know that's saying something because there were a lot of moments, one of which was Saquon running for a touchdown first play of the game for the Eagles. But my God, I mean, fourth and five and just a tremendous pass by Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown down the sideline. Look, Rhea said in the update, you know, sunny. Damn right it's sunny. Sunny in our hearts today. We are feeling real good. And look, congratulations to the Eagles. All right, so let me throw this question out, and then we'll get right back to the phones. So obviously, after the Eagles game, there's a lot of different ways you could do whatever you wanted to do. You can run out to the street. You can call a family member. You can cry. You can laugh. You can, you know, anything, everything. Bills Chiefs was the primary what I did. Now, it was that and, you know, coverage post-game to hear what people were saying. But I watched a lot of the Bills Chiefs. I was rooting for Kansas City because I want the Eagles to beat Kansas City. I like that storyline, and I want to see the Eagles win that in the rematch. Rhea, who did you prefer as that game was going on? And I also thought KC would be a little tougher for the Eagles, but I still wanted it to be KC. Rhea, who did you want it to be?
You asked me that last week, and I said 100% I wanted Kansas City. Now, I was rooting for the Bills just because, you know, I was just rooting for them to win. Mm-hmm. But for the Eagles' purposes, I wanted the rematch. Because I want the Eagles to beat them. I said this, and I felt so bad for Glenn Macnow and his dad. I was texting with Glenn last night, and I go, I'm officially sick of the Kansas City Chiefs. Because again, if you were watching that, the refs, I mean, that was not a catch.
And that's a concern for the Super Bowl.
Yes, it's a huge concern.
It's a big concern, the ref thing with the Chiefs.
The Eagles need to make that very clear to the league office.
I agree. James, who did you want in the moment last night?
So the refs thing was what scared me with the Chiefs, a big part of it. And I think the Chiefs are better. Mahomes, Andy, they're better coached. So I wanted the Bills from a win the Super Bowl perspective. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I think it's more fun to go against the Chiefs again. America will be on our side instead of the other way around. They would have all been against us if it were Buffalo.
Yeah, that's right.
But also, I just, when I was watching that game, even though it was close, like, I didn't even really consider Buffalo. Like, I was like, the Chiefs are going to win this game. Like, they're just going to win.
Yeah.
I know how this is going to play out. So I was just expecting Eagles Chiefs.
So, John, I was struck by you saying earlier you think the Bills are better than the Chiefs. I didn't.
I thought they were better until I saw that game.
Yeah.
Wow. That really shocked me. The fact that the Bills never really seemed to take full advantage of their, potential. It just felt like unrealized potential.
Well, you know what?
At times.
They didn't convert to fourth and ones, and I got to tell you, it is going to be fascinating.
They might have, but
Eagles tush-push against that Chiefs front did a couple times stop Josh Allen.
But Josh Allen's bad at it. I don't know why. It's weird.
I know. He's big, but he's not.
I'm concerned about our tush-pushing also, by the way. We
with
don't
Cam
know
and Dickerson.
How that's going to look
yeah.
with those guys
well,
in
Steen
there.
Well, Steen was in there, and they normally would run to the left with Dickerson and Mulata. So we got to see.
I think it's a
status.
Huge deal that the Bills would have been America's darling. I do feel good about the fact that everyone will want us to win. I don't know how we will deal with that. Like it's always.
I don't think it matters.
It's always
that's
been
just for
underdogs.
I think
underdogs.
That's for us. But
we're
I don't
still
think
underdogs.
I think this team is so
for now.
For now, I think this team is so locked in. I don't know that any of that stuff impacts this team.
I can't imagine that whatever it is that the Chiefs remain the favorite.
Well, it just opened up a couple hours ago. Because they always win, I'm not that
shocked. Isn't it crazy? Speaking of the Chiefs, yesterday was the first time all season they scored 30 points. Isn't that wild?
That is nuts. They do have a really good defense. All right, let's go to the phones. Your reaction to a thrilling victory by the Eagles in the midst of a thrilling season. One more to go. Coming up shortly here with Jalen, Saquon, and Nick Sirianni, all said postgame. We'll get to that coming up soon. Let's talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What a freaking morning, man.
Yeah, man.
I'll say.
Big time.
I lost my freaking mind when Jordan Davis had that sack.
I was watching with our buddy Tommy, neighbor Tommy. I turned to him and said, Ed in Phoenixville is going to be so happy tomorrow when that happened.
But just like that play, or like his stance and like that club move, he was channeling his inner Jalen Carter. Like they're just like feeding off each other.
So, Ed, I got to tell you, the one that I was, I'll use the word entertained by more, was Nolan Smith. I have never, ever seen an edge rusher line up further outside than Nolan Smith did on that play. He was in a cornerback spot.
Yes. He was wide nine plus.
And I was so confused when the ball was about to be snapped. I saw that there was a weird, I'm trying to feel like, who is that? I didn't know who the hell it was. And then obviously it was a technique to use speed to get around the left tackle. And it worked. It was really, I thought it was remarkable.
Well, until the offense you're playing decides to run it inside of you.
But I think it was third and long, so you felt pretty damn confident they weren't going to run it. But I get your point, yeah.
Yeah, and just real quick on Jordan Davis. I mean, you know my love for the guy.
Yep.
It's hard for me to be objective about him because not to get all sappy, but like he reminds me so much of like my best buddy from college who passed away, and like just his energy, his spirit. So like, I just, the fact that I saw him do that, it was just such a wonderful emotional moment yesterday. And where that takes him in his career, I don't know, but it just felt great to see that. Yesterday.
No, I hear you. Look, Ed, good call,
could
man.
Be a little
good
boost
call.
For him. You know, like the emotional boost he needed.
Best moment of his Eagles career.
A lot of people have been, I've been very down on his ability to get to a quarterback, and that's got to wear on you if you're a young player. You know, people, fans, not having total faith in you. I think that's a great sign.
That was good stuff. It really was. By the way,
I do think it reflects his increased physical condition
totally.
This year.
I mean, that was a third quarter sack.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Let's give him props for the way that he has kept him. He's maintained his physical condition all year long.
Yeah.
It's the best we've ever seen it. He looks physically different. Almost, I don't want to say slender.
No, he does. He looks way more svelte. Like, he really does. It's noticeable.
Yes, I think so.
And by the way, speaking of conditioning and a certain degree of good luck, also, major credit to Saquon. You know, one of the concerns I had week 3, week 6, week 8, week 12, can they keep leaning on him with this to this extent and not wear him down? Remember, Miles Sanders wore down 2 years ago. He did. And Saquon is like Superman. I mean, there is no drop-off. He is just, I mean, it's unbelievable what he's
doing.
We
don't have to argue about whether they should have played him the last week of the season anymore.
No.
Well, especially without Dickerson and Juergens, though, yesterday, like any extra rest those guys could have gotten, I think was valuable.
I also think Washington's four straight road games did play a part.
100% it did. They ran out of gas.
You don't, like, see it play by play, but I think they were affected by it. You know, it's hard to imagine they weren't. Let's get to Kenny right now. Kenny, what a great morning, buddy.
Go, Birds! Wow. And, Jimmy, you just said that that was the first time KC scored 30 in a season. First time we scored 50.
I guess since, I don't know if they did it with Vic on Monday night, probably.
No,
if,
since Chip and the Bears. Remember that we're from Philly
Chip
and we
and
fight?
Chip and the Bears. Yep.
We're from Philly and we fight.
Yep. Chip and the Bears.
Oh, man. It was,
Chip's top moment, I think, probably.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful day. The sun's shining. It's 85 degrees. It's sunny. I think I'm going to go lay out in the afternoon. It's just, you know, everybody's smiling this morning. You know, I went by the supermarket and everybody's smiling. Went to the gas station, everybody's smiling. My wife woke up this morning and said, good morning. I have to say I'm sorry for the first time in a while. It was just a great day. So, just in a good mood.
Good for you.
All right, Kenny. I love it, man. You going to the game, Kenny? You going to find your way there?
Of course he is.
No, I'm hosting a huge party, man.
Oh, wow.
Everybody.
All right.
Big party in my house. Come on. Everybody's invited.
I love
whole
it.
Whole world. Come
all right,
on.
Kenny, call us again, man, in the lead up to the game. I appreciate
it. I'm going to have to eat
some.
The whole
world is invited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he invited me yesterday. I was like, no, I got to watch it at home.
Yeah, well, he's hardcore, man. All right,
my man Jeff at the Acme, I got to apologize to him on Saturday.
Okay.
He goes, Eagles are going to blow him out. I go, I don't think so. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm not worried about it at all. At least 14, he said. So he undercut it a little bit, but he wasn't concerned at all.
I was shocked it was this big of a romp. I really didn't. I did not see that coming. In part because the Eagles had so infrequently won in that fashion.
I mean, the Rams game was one of the most stressful games we've ever seen in our lives, you know?
I'm well aware. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. I thought not only a great job by him coaching yesterday, other than kicking the 54-yard field goal, which I thought was lunacy, but
I was okay with it.
I didn't like it. Didn't like it. But anyway, great job. Great job yesterday. Great job this season. And I thought great job post-game, the way he really went out of his way, to prop up Jalen Hurts after the game. Let's listen to Nick at the podium, or whatever the hell you call it, the stage, with Terry Bradshaw, trophy presentation, and here's Nick on Jalen Hurts.
Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Come here. You know, we talked about this game coming in. Neither one of your teams, this team, your team, or Washington, they did not turn the ball over today. You created all four turnovers, and all of a sudden scored touchdowns after every one of them. What does that say about your football team?
Yeah, first and foremost, everything good in our life comes from God, so thank God for that.
How about our quarterback?
How about your quarterback?
He's a stud.
He is a stud.
I knew he was going to play that way. I knew it. Don't doubt him. All he does is win.
That was great. I mean, that was, and obviously Jalen totally deserved that yesterday, but it was really nice of Sirianni to go out of his way to say that. That was big time. Let's listen to Jalen after the game. And it took a long time because there was so much celebration going on when they actually got to the regular podium. It was just such a different post-game scenario. Here's Jalen Hurts talking yesterday about Sirianni, but also Jalen broadening it out to his own approach to football. This is interesting stuff.
I mean, to get all that praise from Coach post-game on the stage, and what's it like playing for Coach Sirianni?
Well, he's done a great job. I guess he let me on my straitjacket a little bit today.
With the offense being largely conservative for most of the year, you still use the term straitjacket, but to sort of accept that there's not going to be every game where you're airing it out like that.
It's not about me. And as I said, you know, I don't even play. I don't play the game for any statistical measure. Nothing more than just winning. You play the game to win. I play the game to win, and I think this, in a sense, this game chose me, and this position chose me. You know, and to be able to come this far and have the opportunities in front of us, you just want to take advantage of them. But none of that has been. I've never been motivated by achieving the personal things, the personal goals. All of those things come when you put the work in, have the right mentality, embrace what the group's mission is, and the mission is to win.
That's Jalen Hurts. You know, I'll say this. There are obviously a lot of people, and I've been one of them, with doubts about Jalen. And two things. One, he played phenomenal yesterday. Phenomenal. But two, even when he doesn't, he has personality traits that I think are so admirable with the way he is all about winning. Like, that is the purpose. This is not a numbers game for him. This is not a Joel Embiid, I'm going to go boast and tell you I'm going to do 37 million great things and then only do four of them. Like, he has so many traits that are so admirable. And obviously it's a credit to him and his parents, his family. I mean, he is the kind of guy that, as a Philadelphia sports fan, you're very proud that he represents, obviously in a very big spot, one of our teams. It really is something. 215, go ahead.
So you're now locked in on Jalen Hurts?
Well, so I'm not going to tell you long term. I'll tell you this. He obviously is going to be the quarterback 2 years from now. When I thought earlier in the year, he might not be. Okay. So for sure. But look, he played his best yesterday this season. I hope he can, you know, roll another one of them. Because the challenge.
This thought process makes no sense. Like,
what part of what I said?
He is the franchise quarterback.
He is the franchise quarterback. If you're asking me if he's going to be the quarterback 5 years from now, I don't know that. I don't know that.
Okay.
But I totally know.
No one knows that. But okay, well, the fact that he has the ability.
It's in there, of course.
You know what? Of course. History says he's going to win a lot of games over the next 5 years. Because that's what this guy does, man. And it's almost like along the way it gets like cliche-ish. It's like, oh, all he does is win. Like, all this guy does is win. Like, at a certain point, you have to step back and be like, he's a freaking winner, man. He is. Like, the kid is a freaking winner.
I agree with that.
He's the only quarterback in the NFC who's been to two Super Bowls now. The only one in the entire NFC right now. Like, the guy's awesome.
First guy to lose the Super Bowl since Jim Kelly?
Since Jim Kelly. It was 19 straight times that a quarterback went to the Super Bowl, lost it, then never got back. Jim Kelly's the last one.
That's wild. All right, let's get
to... It's a huge deal.
I know.
The fact that he... Wow. It just, in so many ways... I feel comforted by the fact that he is the guy who will be calling the shots and pulling the trigger. Like, I wish you could get to that point, because it seems
yesterday was a big step in that regard.
All right,
big step. But let's see the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, it's
I expect the Super Bowl, because I've seen him in the biggest games perform his best. I do expect him to achieve at a high level in this game.
And there's a better team. This team than the last year.
Yeah, but also know this. The Chiefs are a lot better than Washington.
Okay. Oh, I agree, but I don't think this Chiefs team is as good as the team we lost to in 2022. And I think this Eagles team is better than the team that lost
in
2022.
This Chiefs team feels like they're deficient, comparatively speaking, to that Super Bowl team that we lost to. Now, of course, a lot can change. We can see that the Andy Reid can lift a team in a lot of ways.
His scheming of guys open is
amazing.
It's second to none. When you see guys
underneath open. I mean, he's already put Belichick on alert. We're like, oh, Belichick, best coach ever. Like, alert. Andy is on his way, man.
Andy's going to get the record. He's going to get Shula's record. He really is. All right, by the way, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox. From Armin Chevrolet, together let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, who should be the favorite in Super Bowl 59, the Eagles or the Chiefs? Now, it turns out the Chiefs are favorite. Eagles opened up as a 1.5 underdog. But who do you think should be favored in the game, the Birds or the Chiefs? Let's get to Ken and Cinnaminson. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Pumped up, my man. Ken. Very excited.
Yeah, well, hey, what's not to be pumped up about, right? So, Joe, you were mentioning earlier how you were having a hard time keeping track because of the numbers of exactly what the differential was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Brady had it as a one-score game going into halftime when it was 27-15. So you're not the only one.
Well, I didn't hear that.
Problem with the math.
Yeah, I thought he was better than normal yesterday. I think he's improving a little bit.
I think you're giving him a lot of credit.
A little bit better. A little bit better.
When they kicked the field goal, he said, they got it down to a one-score game going into the half. They got to feel good about it. And I kind of scratched my head. So I think I texted James somewhere in the third quarter with the throw the damn towel gif from Rocky IV. because it was so obvious. First of all, to me it was obvious all week that they were so much better than this team that I didn't understand why people were worried, other than the natural nerves that we have as Philadelphia fans, because whatever can go wrong will go wrong
Seems like that was a lot of it, but also Jaden Daniels has shown that he can take his team back. He can pull his team within, you know, reach.
And Ken, the other thing I'll say, as great as Eagles have been this year, they have not won many games comfortably. I mean, well, most games have gone right down to the final 4 minutes, and that's, you know, that's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, well, I thought it was funny when Jalen mentioned, you know, take it off my straitjacket.
Yeah,
that was great. And I just thought, you know, Jaden Daniels, good player. He's going to be a good player probably for a long time in this league, although, you know, we have seen some regression in the sophomore years. Just look at C.J. Stroud, right? But I thought it was way premature for the people that were coordinating Jaden Daniels as the best quarterback in the NFC after 18 football games in the NFL. And I never had any concern that they were going to lose this game. And
well, I'll say this, though, Ken. They didn't lose because of him. They lost because their defense gave up 5 million yards, and they lost because the ball carriers kept fumbling the ball. I mean, I thought Jaden Daniels was pretty good.
One last thing.
Sure.
My favorite moment postgame was in the postgame press conference, and I don't think you've played it in any of the Sirianni postgame press conference you've played so far.
Yep.
When he went to Mike Sielski to ask his question, and before Sielski even got the question out, he said, "Hey, Mike, I don't have my family with me today." That was the
flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ultimate slap for him writing that stuff about how he was using his kids as a shield after the Cleveland game. I always found that disgusting, and I was glad that Nick took a moment to put that back into perspective.
It was purposeful. There's no doubt. Sirianni definitely wanted to make a point that yesterday, and he did. And we'll probably talk to him about it tomorrow because it was an interesting exchange. Look, I don't think he should have the kids at the podium press conference unless they win the Super Bowl. Yeah. And maybe he'll pull them out.
Oh, he should.
He should.
If they win the Super Bowl, 100%. Damn straight he should. He should be like, yeah, here are my kids.
And one other thing, and I'm going to say this to Brandon Graham when we have him in studio tomorrow, because he's the only guy we talk to that's currently on the team, although Kelsey could get this message to the team. But I hope they do this. You guys know I've been calling for this for a bunch of years. They got to get back to the tradition of when a Super Bowl when the Super Bowl is won, that the team that wins the Super Bowl lifts the coach up. I thought it was one of the great things about pro football. And you used to see it in college football.
Right? They did it
well, a bunch of guys. Yeah. And I feel like the last time it happened was Mike Holmgren in 96. I could be wrong. I know he got lifted up.
You want them to pick up Andy Reid. That's probably why they stopped it.
Wasn't the last one Jim Schwartz in that regular season game? Remember that?
I don't.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? He won a regular season game. I think it was like the Browns against the Titans or Titans against his old team or something silly like that.
But I'm just like, it was a great tradition. And for some reason, for like a quarter century, it just hasn't happened.
Maybe they got away from
it. And Sirianni deserves it if they win.
Well, maybe they got away from it for like health and injury issues.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking.
Well,
Madden got dropped.
That's
so
the
in 77,
right.
When Oakland, but then they kept doing it for 20 more years. Listen,
I don't know if
I'm pretty sure
my guys hoisting the coach up and wrenching their back.
I'm pretty sure.
Season's over at that point.
Jalen Carter.
That's true.
And, you know, Jordan Mulata can figure out how to not get injured lifting up Nick Sirianni. And Sirianni deserves it. I'm just telling you.
He deserves to be lifted off the ground.
If they win the Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, it would be a great moment. All right. Speaking of deserves, someone else who deserves. Saquon Barkley deserves to win the MVP of the NFL. He's not going to. I don't even know what the word is. It's beyond mind-boggling that somehow he was right there neck and neck with Josh Allen, like week 15, 16.
Apparently he wasn't really right there neck and neck with Josh Allen in week 16.
But the odds switched. They all switched at the very end.
That's the thing. It feels like it was a joke that they were just going to rip right out from under, a carpet that they ripped right out from under us. He should be the MVP.
If he had broken the record, I think he might have been. Literally not. So here's my point.
What about now? With you add in the playoffs and everything that's occurred. I know,
count.
But why doesn't it count?
Well, because it shouldn't. It's a regular season award. I'm just telling you, the voters, they're dumb. I know Josh Allen's great. I know Lamar's great. I don't take that away from them. Saquon should be the MVP, and it's a shame he won't be. Let's listen to Saquon Barkley. After the game yesterday, really happy, but also still very focused. Here is Saquon Barkley post-game with Aaron Andrews.
You told me this season hasn't felt real. How does this feel, Saquon?
I ain't going to lie. I tried to downplay it in my head, but it's amazing, man. It's amazing. We're here. Super Bowl. But the goal wasn't just getting there. The goal is to win. And we're going to celebrate, enjoy this, and get right back to work.
Hey, let me talk about the game real quick with you guys. Total team effort, defense, offense, what you guys were able to do after those deep turnovers were forced. What are your thoughts on that? It was all in.
We knew that's what it was going to take. It's going to take a team effort. I'm going to give a shout out to Will Shipley. He came in, finished strong, but we talk about in the running back room about making plays. Our guy Kenny went down. Will stepped up big for us, but the team came out, man. Everyone came out, made big plays, and got the job done, and that's how you get to the Super Bowl.
And you are going to a Super Bowl. You told me on Friday. I've dreamt about it. I've thought about the confetti. You're going to see your family here in a minute. How does this compare to what you dreamt about?
I always dreamed about it, but the dream wasn't just getting there. The dream was winning it. So that's what the mindset's at.
We'll see you in New Orleans.
Appreciate you.
Tremendous.
You know, you're there to win it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I love that message.
I'm with you, man. And by the way, someone told me, I didn't know this, Vic Fangio's never won a Super Bowl.
Wow.
I mean, the guy's like 700 years old. And someone told, I mean, I'm joking, but, you know, you get my point. He's been around for a long time. Someone told me he's never won. So
it's an unbelievable achievement.
He's a very accomplished coach, I would have thought, somewhere along the
block
line.
A few times, that's for sure.
So he's got to be really pumped
up. Yeah, I'm looking at his resume right now. He's never won.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. All right, and one other thing on Saquon. I'll just say, we talked many times 7 years ago about how in the Super Bowl, I believe it was the Corey Clement touchdown, when the other running backs, Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount, came out to celebrate with him. That was the one, right, James?
Totally. Right.
So it was such a great moment. You know,
and earlier in the season when Ajayi scored his first touchdown as an Eagle,
that.
And they ran up to LeGarrette Blount, the first one there.
That was a backfield by committee. And those guys shared, and they shared, you know, they didn't throw tantrums. And they celebrated each other.
And Jay had a reputation when he came here. Like, that's one of the reasons they got rid of him.
Fit in, though.
Yeah, said, oh, he's not not a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
He was fine here.
He was great. And those guys celebrated each other and with each other. Saquon running onto the field to celebrate with Will Shipley yesterday. And then shouting him out post-game.
Immediately. Like,
in interviews.
Like pivoted immediately to be like, how about my boy Ship? Like, awesome.
Saquon is... he's a godsend. I mean, I don't know what to say.
He's perfect. Like, he's actually perfect. Like, as a player, as a person, as a athlete, as a whatever you want to say.
We don't
like,
deserve him, James.
As a father, you see these videos of him and his daughter. Like, it's like
it's cool.
Is perfect.
He didn't want to eat the candy before the game, though, whatever, or cookie or whatever that was. He's like, no. That's a play game. Not gonna put that food in me. All right, let's get your reaction to all this. Reminder, Seth Joyner joins us coming up in about 15 minutes in studio for the 9 o'clock hour. Let's talk to Rick in Easton. Rick, good morning.
Good morning. Couldn't agree with you more. I want Kansas City, and I'll tell you something else. I don't want Mahomes hurt because I don't want to hear the haters with this asterisk that Washington took care of Detroit, the Bills took care of Kansas City. I want their best. We have to beat their best. How ironic is that we could start our own dynasty at the expense of Andy Reid? It's all about rings. All about rings, because rings are critical to this city's history. Isn't it funny, real quick?
I think that's reasonable to – Rick, I don't think it's an outsized expectation that we could be in that same – like,
let's win first.
I'm with James.
Let's win first.
I'm with James.
We have very few rings in our lifetime. Let's win first.
But this is shaping up in such a way – Howie has shaped this up in such a way that – things are set up for the future as well as the present.
But to be fair, we did think that in 2017.
I know.
Like in 2018, entering 2018.
The new normal.
So, yeah, I know. So, but Rick, I like your point, man.
Yeah, a couple things real quick. If you listen to Merrill, I like to see the Eagles punt instead of going for 4th and 5. It reminded me of when he said, I'd like to see the Eagles go for the field goal instead of the Philly special before Merrill's called Philly. But this team... John, you know this as well as everybody. This team, the way they're playing, reminds me of Big Ten football in the 70s and the 90s, running the ball and defense. This team reminds me of two teams. Seltzer and I talked about it earlier. The Redskins with Riggins and the Hogs, and the Oakland Raiders with Madden and Marcus Allen and Matt Millen and that gang. They won with running the ball, and they won it with defense. And I've talked about this for 3 years, and it's really turned the corner. The Georgia Bulldog defense with that back-to-back championship season, right after Alabama, Carter, Davis, Smith, and Dean are so critical. I can't even tell you how important that defense with that nucleus is.
All right, Rick, great phone call on a lot of fronts right there. I like that call a lot.
We have not talked about the team, the Georgia connection again, now revisited this whole like interconnectedness. We talk, Coach Sirianni talks about connecting between players. The next level of connection, is that what this represents? Because it is unheard of to go and collect a group of guys from the same college.
Well, how about how they were
in the draft?
They were almost all struggling initially. Nicobe struggled.
It did feel like that.
Jordan Davis struggled
as a group.
And Nolan Smith.
Yeah,
like it's really like Keely Ringo's been a backup pretty much the whole
time. He's been a great special teams.
Seems like a solid backup.
Yeah, outstanding contributor
on special teams.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
It's just taken a while for these guys from the same college group to get it all together. But man, Howie is onto something.
Yeah.
And it feels like this additional layer of connectedness is serving its purpose.
Yeah, and he drafted some Alabama guys also, Jalen and Devontae, obviously.
Yeah. Dickerson.
And Dickerson.
Yeah,
exactly right, man. Let's listen to how it sounded yesterday. Marilyn Mike on the call. We keep switching the music for the Merrill montage because we keep playing it. We want to entertain you with the moments from yesterday's game that really stood out, but we're changing the music hour by hour. Here is how it sounded yesterday on WIP. We're going to need a montage.
Ooh, it takes a montage. For the 9th time, the Philadelphia Eagles are playing in the NFC Championship game and looking for their 5th trip to the Super Bowl. Hurts under center on the first down. He pitches it out to Barkley. Takes off to the outside. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He's going to go. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon!
Saquon Barkley, 60 yards on his opening touch.
He touched it, and he took it to the house.
Back goes Daniels. He swings it out. He's got Deami Brown, who comes across the fumbles the football, and I think the Eagles have the hit by Cooper DeJean, the fumble recovered by Reed Blankenship. Hurts on first down, feeds Barkley off to the outside. His second touchdown of the game.
Speed.
Fourth down and five, and I'd rather see them punt even this early with a two-point lead. Back goes Hurts. Here comes the rush. He lets it fly, and it is caught. A.J. Brown inside the 20-yard line.
How do you like me now?
Ball at the one. They're pushing. Hurts sneaks, pushing. He's in. Touchdown. Here is Elliott to kick off. It's a line drive bouncing, and it is filled by McNichols, who comes across the 20, fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. Second turnover of the game.
He got slammed and gave up the football.
Hurts is going to throw. He's back. He fires. He completes it. Touchdown.
That's the matchup
AJ
I like.
Brown.
That's the matchup I like.
On first down, Hurts, quarterback draw. He's at the five. He is in for the touchdown. Jalen Hurts.
I guess his leg's all right.
Back goes Daniels again. He fires.
I think that ball was caught and fumbled.
It is caught and fumbled.
They lost it again.
Caught and fumbled.
And it's the Eagles' ball.
It is. Third turnover of the game. They line up for the tush push. And the Commanders come across the line of scrimmage and belt them. So they'll gain 6 inches.
Yeah, they don't lose anything, the Commanders, when they do this.
That was Luvu. No Luvu. He's faking. Now there's another flag.
Encroachment. Defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior.
I've never seen that.
I've never heard that either. He takes the snap. He pushes. He shoves. He's in. Touchdown, Eagles!
They got it in easily.
It is 4th and 11. They have to get to the Eagles 49. Daniels back, looking. Here comes the rush. He's running. They've got him. They sack him. Nolan Smith got him back at the 25-yard line. Hurts. He gives it to Barkley. Barkley runs wide. Touchdown! His third of the day.
He's special.
Daniels back one more time. He looks. He pumps. He is going deep, and it is almost intercepted. Incomplete. It is intercepted.
It is intercepted.
For the second time in 2 weeks, it is Quinyon Mitchell who comes down with the ball. Gives off to Shipley. Shipley at the 45-50, 45-40, 35-30, 15-10-5. Tackled at the 5-yard line. Will Shipley.
Wow. Now you're just pouring it on.
Hand off. Shipley plowing ahead. Touchdown, Will Shipley. He joins the fun. And the Eagles not just beat, but annihilate the Washington Commanders 55-23. Attention, air traffic control. This flock of Eagles is heading to New Orleans.
Well, tremendous job by the Birds, and congratulations to the whole organization. You know, there was so much after the game last night to consume, not just the KC Buffalo game, which was intriguing for all the obvious reasons, but all the stuff on social media. I know a lot of people went out to the streets, whatever section of the city you're in or a community area, wherever you are. All the post-game coverage here on WIP. There was so much. Two things that stood out to me that we haven't mentioned yet. One, and I always love when this happens. The Empire State Building lit up last night in Eagles Green. It's a tradition they have.
Yep.
We would not support that if that was our building.
Oh, my God. No way.
We would not support that.
There would be legislation immediately
right?
to get that change.
But, you know, they lean in that direction, and we benefited as Eagles fans last night seeing a New York landmark lit up in Eagles Green. So, I love that. Here's the other
thing. Saquon probably enjoyed that a bit, too.
Oh, my God. Here's the other one. I don't know how many people saw this, but this is unbelievable. After the game, Nick Foles went to Broad Street.
I saw. Can you imagine partying on Broad Street just seeing Nick Foles walk by?
Think about being any number of the thousands, tens of thousands that were out there last night. And by the way, if you were one of them that saw Nick Foles, call us.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Because, I mean, that's wild. I mean, you're already on cloud nine celebrating the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl, and here's Foles just hanging out with you also? Unbelievable, man.
I saw the picture with him. I guess it was his wife.
His wife,
Tori, yeah. Him and Tori.
She must be very tall, too.
I had the same thought. I was like, wow, she's like
6'2".
Yeah, I had the same thought, John. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.